Okay, we're in the Mesil Shesharim with the Sefer Bilvavi on page Mem Aleph at the very bottom. Mesil Shesharim is talking about how very highly intelligent people are dabbling in the more challenging issues of learning Gemara and things like that, and not focusing so much on their Avodas Hashem, while the people who are less intelligent are focusing on the areas of Avodas Hashem. And the author of the Bilvavi is, we just left off by discussing that it's very possible for a person, for example, to be very good in a specific area in which he's working in. He gives the example of an architect. And so there are people who their jobs can be to resolve difficult, complex issues. But on the other hand, if you ask also a person, do you understand how to have shalom bayis in your house? It's also a great chokhmah. And then he asks the following, and he says basically, if you only have to deal with one side of the coin, that's not such a difficult issue. If you give someone advice, it's not that hard. The more difficult thing is to give advice to two conflicting areas. Let's say a husband has one nature, a wife has a different nature, and to give advice for both of them to get along is not such an easy thing. And he's leading into the bottom paragraph on page Mem Aleph. We just said this morning the bracha of Asher Yatzar Es Adam B'Chachma Uvarovo Nekavim Nekavim, etc., etc., Baruch Ato Hashem Rofecho Basar Mafli Lasos. The bracha we make for after coming out of the washroom is the bracha that Hashem heals all flesh and does wondrous things. And also that he fashioned man with Chachma. So the question is, did Hashem only create man with chachma, with wisdom? It seems that Hashem created man with wisdom. Anything else? He created everything with wisdom. Hachiyus, hachayus, habehemus, the wild animals, the domesticated animals. Kulam b'chachma, so he made them all with wisdom. So why the focus on the human being? Page Mem Beis. The answer is Vareish as Kulam Yatzar Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Chachma. Certainly Hashem created them all with wisdom. Avol b'Yitziras Adam Munachas Chachma Miyuchedes. But the creation of a man has a unique wisdom. Mahi, what is it? We've wrote Guf Levad Zu Chachma Gedolah. To create a body alone, that's also a wonder. That's also a big Chachma. V'Gamas Se Anachmo Yichon Lasos, and we can't even do that. We've wrote Neshama Zu Gam Chachma Gedolah. And the creator soul is also a great wisdom. But to create an infinite soul in a finite body, those are two opposites, diametric opposites. To put them together, zehu mafli lasos. That's an amazing thing. So it's a whole different wisdom to create two conflicting entities that can become compatible with each other. Now, what's the point of this? He says, "Lilma Gemara zu chachma gedolam o." To learn Gemara is a big chachma. Avol zeh mitzad echad shel hamatbea. That's only one side of the coin. Ma omek chachma? What's the deeper kind of wisdom? The answer is yesh ba'adam shnei malachim mayach v'lev. Person has two rulers inside of himself: the brain and the heart. To arrange everything in the brain alone, that is a great wisdom. And to arrange things in the heart alone is also a great wisdom. But to merge the two together, to have great wisdom and great, to have a developed mind and a developed heart, this is the greatest wisdom imaginable, and this is referred to as the Sod HaIbor. The Sod HaIbor literally means the mystical, the secret of the intercalation of the Jewish year. So you're wondering, where is that coming from? So now he's going to give a beautiful explanation of this concept of what is called in halachic parlance sod ha'ibur. When they refer to the intercalating of the years, it is referred to as sod, as a secret. And now you're going to understand the deep mystical understanding of this, which is very profound. He will explain. Yesh chama v'yesh levona. You have the sun and you have the moon. We know yemei chama hem shasa. The yearly solar calendar is 365 days. Yemei halavona hem be'erach achad esar yamim pachas. And the lunar calendar is approximately 11 days shorter than that. So now, the problem is that they're not in sync with each other. So if you're a Muslim, you don't care. If you're a Muslim, you forget about the solar calendar. And you only live with the lunar calendar. And therefore their holidays will always come in different times of the secular calendar, of the solar calendar. Now, kol soda ibur, the whole secret of ibur. Ibur literally means it makes pregnant. The whole secret over here to coordinate the lunar and solar calendar together. To be able to find a way that they can be not go too far off. So you look at that as an interesting thing. Judaism has both. We have the lunar calendar. Jews are compared to the moon. Therefore we count by the moon. But then on the other hand, the solar calendar is an important thing as well, because it really decides what the natural events during the year are going to happen. For example, Pesach must happen in the springtime. You cannot have Pesach in the winter. It just doesn't go. It doesn't go. But a lunar calendar itself doesn't accommodate that, because every year you're losing 11 days to the solar calendar. As he found this year, Pesach was in March. If we would make any adjustments in another 6 years, it will be dead of winter on Pesach, which cannot be. Cannot be. So therefore, God understood, and to go with one calendar alone isn't good. Hashem didn't want a solar calendar because Jewish people are not compared to the sun. It doesn't really reflect our innermost relationship to time. So therefore, Hashem said, we have to have a way of having both calendars. So now how are you going to do that? Well, we've got to find a way. So what do you do? Seven times every 19 years, we add a leap month, an extra Adar, and that keeps it all in the best way of keeping everything balanced. It never gets too far out of whack, and it always stays in a healthy way. Now that itself is called a great secret, because you have a lot of things you have to know. You have to be able to know the synodic month, the average lunar monthly cycle, with great precision, because if you don't, then over time you're going to mess things up. So there's a lot of secular wisdom that has to be involved. But this idea, for some strange reason, is called a sod. It's called a secret. So what's the idea? So he says like this, this is the deeper understanding of this whole concept. Hamoach hu bebechinas chama. So allegorically, the brain is compared to the sun, or the sun's compared to the brain. It's that aspect of the sun. And the heart has the aspect of the moon. So now, sod ha'ibur ka'amur in yonu l'chaber esachama im alavana. Says so. The whole secret of intercalating the years, as it refers to what we're talking about, is to combine and have working together the sun and the moon. And that's a secret. Mean to say, Hadavar hayachid shekulam yodim shekaren lo sod u'sod ibur. The only thing in Jewish nigla, in the revealed part of Jewish law, that has the term sod, secret, is this idea of intercalating the years. It's not the sod of Shabbos, the sod of kashrus, the sod of Kiddush Levona. It's the sod of Ibur, intercalating the years. Meaning to say, Livnos Mahalech Shalchama Shasa Yom Zuchach Mamukha. For Hashem to create a solar calendar that operates in 365 days. That's a deep wisdom. Livnos mahalach shel levanazu gam chachma mukar. To arrange the lunar month and a whole year based on lunar month and the whole astrological signs and all, that's also big wisdom. Avalat sliach lechavram b'yachad, but to successfully merge the two, zes soda ibar shrachachamim gedolim yodo oso. That is the greatest secret, that only the greatest wise men understood it. There's a whole process that happened when you wanted to add a Jewish month to the calendar. It wasn't a simple thing. Special rabbis had to be invited. It was a whole big deal. It wasn't a simple thing. So v'hayu mekachim es ha'chodesh beis ha'mikdash, they would sanctify the month, the extra month in the beis ha'mikdash. Ha'isu chachmi yuchedes, this was a unique wisdom. So let's, again, on just a simple level, astrologically, it was mind-boggling how NASA, using all kinds of computers, taking years and years, came up with the synodic month. And Chazal, the rabbis of Talmud, thousands of years ago, knew it like that.
When did that happen exactly?
It was always. We always had this.
Right from the beginning?
From the beginning. From when we left Egypt.
Wow.
We hadn't know how to do this. Right? And you can't just, you know, just by looking at the moon and guess how it's going to happen. You have to have great wisdom to understand that. But that's on a simple level what the wisdom was. It's a much deeper thing. He says like this. Be'etzem. Okay. Now again, you can understand this as well, why the sun is the mind and the moon is the heart. Right? The sun gives light. The sun gives light. Torah is light. Torah is information, it's light. You learn Torah, it sheds light into your life. Correct? That's what Torah is. Torah is mamish light. It's mamish light. Right? The moon, what's the moon? The moon receives the light and then reflects the light and lets us have benefit of the light in the darkness. So that's really what a lathe is supposed to do. That's what a heart's supposed to do. The heart is supposed to internalize the Torah, and then in difficult situations where it's dark, you're not sure what to do, the heart understands by taking that light and reflecting it and showing you the way to go. As he will explain, but you're going to see it's a beautiful, beautiful analogy. So let's explain. The etzem, essentially, the nefesh kolodom me'itanu tamun soda ibur. Essentially, in the soul of every Jew is hidden this mystical secret of trying, hate that word, intercalate, because no one uses such a word, but to merge two conflicting patterns of life. The solar and lunar year are conflicting patterns of life. This idea really is in the essence of every Jew. Mean to say, Yeshanu Moach, Yeshanu Leiv. We have a heart, we have a mind, we have a heart. Yeshanu Sakara Sichlis, Kara V'Choshevas Mesuderes Cholecha Kifi Ercho. We have an intellectual recognition that's cold and calculating, but arranges everything according to the values that it should have. Yeshanu Gamas Hargashas Hamukas Hanimsos V'Soch Livo Shalom. And then we have the deepest feelings that are found in the hearts of every human being. Those are two conflicting courses. Im seichel levad, absolutely stadim. With intellect alone, you're able to arrange things. You're able to organize things. Im hargash levad, gam kein absolutely stadim. And with feelings alone, you can arrange things and come up with philosophies of life. But when you come to a person, we say to him, now let's combine the way you understand, the way you intellectualize things and the way you feel things, and to act as if they're working together. This is the deepest secret of intercalation. Okay, you understand. It's conflict within a person. What you know and what you feel. You know you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. That person stabbed you in the back for the 10th time this week. Has mom is going to destroy your life. And the only way you're going to get out of it, you think, is by speaking Lashon Hara. And emotionally, you want to kill the guy, you want to speak Lashon Hara. Now go resolve those two. Intercalate, your mind says, you have to be a gentleman and follow the Torah, and your heart says, I got to speak that Lashon Hara. How are you going to get them to merge together? That's the most difficult avoda, which now spins in to another area. He says, "Zeh be'etzem inyan hashchanas hashalom bein ish l'isho." This really is the concept of bringing shalom bayis in a family. Ha'ish sichli, generally speaking, the strength of a man is his intellect. Ha'isha ragashish, the strength of a woman is her emotions. V'tzarech lekaber chaver shneim biyachad. You have to combine the two. The father says we have to discipline the kid. The mother says we have to have compassion on him. Okay, on the simple level, the husband says, this is what we can afford, and the wife says, but this is what we need. Same idea, all kinds of areas. The husband says, listen, the only thing we need to talk about is what's practical. The wife says, but we've got to talk about our feelings. Right? That's the conflict that was in every marriage. Next page, Mem Gimel. Why did Hashem establish that every Jew has to get married? To help us understand in a more easy way that the merging that we must produce externally between the intellect of the man and the soul and the feelings of a woman, that which plays itself out externally in our lives has to be played out as well internally within our own intellect and heart. Do you understand? Like trying to get along with your spouse, you can very easily see the conflict, and you have to come up with conflict resolution where you're able to merge that both areas are working harmoniously with each other. The intellect of the husband and the emotion of the woman have to merge to the point where each one has an equal dose of both strengths. Gvura and chesed have to be mixed. All these opposites have to be mixed. There's got to be a confluence of this. And if you can do that externally, then you can begin to realize, you know, there's a whole other area I haven't begun to get into. Within my own intellect, within my own heart, I've got to have shalom bayis. Don't forget about that. You need shalom bayis within yourself. So mi shalom mistader be'inyan hashalom bayis. So someone who can't really arrange shalom bayis within his own life, kinir shigam bein amoach v'alev shalom yeshno ezo shehi baya, would appear that within the person's own life, his own singular life, the conflict between the heart and the mind, also there's got to be some problems. Very, very important yourself. Okay, so now with this, he moves on. Imamish, now he goes now into the next 3 pages or so. He now takes this idea and brings it into the idea of Yira Shemayim.
Brings it into modern psychology.
I don't know what's called modern psychology. It changes every 5 years. Modern psychology. You know. Okay.
I wonder if Freud, he was Jewish, right? But I wonder if he like probably sat in on a shoe or something.
I don't know.
I think he studied this book.
Maybe.
Okay, anyway, but he, so first of all, we've learned the beautiful message of the Soda Yibur. It's a beautiful idea. And that Soda Yibur really is just reflecting, you know, the husband and the wife, sun and the moon, also trying to get them on track. And then ultimately, within the heart and the mind of every human being, they've got to be on track. Yes?
This, you say that this ability to do the sub-hadim work is in every nefesh.
Yes.
Is that part of the what was taught in the womb, or is that a separate...
It could be. Could be.
Or is it like a hardware thing?
I, I don't know. That's a semantic question. It's a semantic question. Every Jew is capable of doing it.
Well, only because then you could forget.
Doesn't matter. It's too semantic for me. Every Jew is capable of doing it. That's all that matters. Every Jew has to do it and is capable of doing it. That's enough that we need to know. Okay, now, Kol Sod HaChayim Hu Be'etzem L'Chaveres HaSeichel V'Regesh Latzlich Lifol B'Tzur Mozanas Mishulev HaSeachet. The whole foundation of life, in a nutshell, is essentially to combine the intellect and the feelings and to successfully engage them in a balanced fashion, working integrated together. That's what life's all about. To be able to get the heart and the mind working together. That's what life is. Kov hadin es hahar. That's one Gemara expression. Which meaning to say, hasechol hakar, the cold intellect, zu einena derech hachaim. That's not a way to live. To live with your cold intellect alone is not a way to live. Regesh levad and feelings alone, gam zu einena derech hachaim. That's also not a way to live. Shekvar hisireinu chazal, because our rabbis already warned us. People have mercy on cruel people will eventually be cruel to mercy, to people they should be merciful to. Right? And that's a person who's going on emotion. That's why emotion alone doesn't work. The proper way of life is to merge the intellect and the feelings in every aspect of our lives. So, Adam she'ein lo haskala. Let's say a person without any intellect. Minanei alulav. Let's say he's going to shake a lulav. We've been learning Hilchos Lulav at night. So he shake a lulav. Tofes also hafach. He decides to take the lulav and he takes it upside down. Which we learned on Monday. It's possible. You can't shake a lulav upside down. But it's more than it's possible. What's the mystical understanding of when you take a lulav? As Reb Chaim Vital discusses, Shemorid Lakarka Rak Me'orer Dinim. The whole idea of waving the lulav up and down and all around is to protect us from terrible winds. But when you take the lulav and do it upside down, you mystically are bringing down the worst judgments upon the Jewish people when you shake a lulav upside down. So what's going on? Who rotzel anayim kavanatova? He wants to shake the lulav with good intentions. Hu bala beis haknesses. He even comes to shul. Avla masa ena rotzui. But his action is not favorable. Why? Because you're ignorant. You didn't learn. You didn't come to class. And therefore you wanted to do good, but you ended up doing bad. Okay? That's a person without any intelligence. He's not using his intellect. On the other hand, yesh adam kesherachmon litzlan mizdamin lamakom tuuna. Let's say a person, God forbid, comes to a place where there's been an accident. Miyadu ratz lazar, he quickly wants to help. Hu lo lomer hachiya ubetipol lo zoyer harigas apatzur. He didn't learn how to see hachiya, like emergency aid, how to give somebody life, first aid. And as he helps the person, he's not careful. And he kills the person who he's trying to help. Right? Because he doesn't know what to do. He's kavein l'tov, he meant good. He says, oh, okay, we'll move him. We'll move him out of this place. And by moving him, you went and killed him. But according to Jewish law, he's a murderer. Amnon b'shogeh, it might be unintentional. He's a murderer. If you don't know how to give emergency help, better stand on the side. Okay, he's giving examples where people want to do good, but it turns out to be bad. There are people with their good intentions have destroyed the world. Because of his firma kedoshim, the holy books write, she got Adam Rishon, Haislal Kavona Tova, Keshachom Eitzadas. Adam Rishon had good intentions when he ate from the tree of knowledge. But because of that good intention, the world suffers from now on. From then on, because Hashem said, from the day that you eat it, you will surely die. And what happens? And the result was, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread. These are the sufferings we get because of Adam's good intentions. So now, in kavonas tovas levad, he actually started b'chaim b'shum oven. With good intentions alone, you never can arrange your life in a proper way. No way. Right? No way. I meant for the good. Right? Parents mean so much good for their kids, and they're destroying them. Destroying them. Mom is destroying them. They think it's good. What are they basing that on? Because everybody else thinks it's good. Because the toy manufacturers think it's good. Destroying your kids. You don't think any kid wants to hurt their kid? They are. They're killing their kids. But they mean for their good. What's the problem? The whole secret of life is to merge the intellectual and emotional forces that exist within us. Zoi be'etzem yiras Hashem. This is essentially what we refer to when we use the term yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. That mysterious term, fear of Hashem, that people think it just means being afraid Hashem is going to punish you. Which is a consequence of yiras Hashem. But it's not the essence of yiras Hashem. V'lochein hi levado nikreis chokma. And in the Talmud, it says, yiras Hashem alone is called wisdom. That's the only one that's called wisdom. If you look in the Gemara, that's called chokma, the real wisdom. V'achokma hatzmuna b'yira hu lakachas es hakoch hasichli v'achoch hargoshi v'lifol imo b'yachad. The real deepest chokma, wisdom, what we call fear, is to take the power of the mind and the heart and to make them work together in the air. And we are going to explain it now. So let him explain it.
No, I just was going to say that this ties in with what we were learning about in Navi, that they didn't have this Yiras Hashem because they worked from the Hargasha.
Yes, that's right. They didn't have Yiras Hashem. Exactly. Kofnin and Pichos had Hargashas, had feelings, but didn't balance it with what their minds knew. So now, he's going to give an example. It's a very, very beautiful piece. And I'll probably use parts of this for the Shabbos afternoon class that most people won't be there for. Kulam mem dalet. Kulam yodim sheyesh gehenim. Everybody knows there's a gehenim. Everybody knows. If you're a Jew, you know there's gehenim. So mima fachim again. Who's really afraid of gehenim in this room? Nobody. Nobody's really afraid of gehenim. If you were, you wouldn't have done the averis you did yesterday. You wouldn't have missed the Gemara Shir. You wouldn't have missed going to Minyan. You wouldn't have done a whole bunch of things you didn't do. You wouldn't have said the Lashon Hara you said yesterday. You wouldn't have looked at things you weren't supposed to look at. Because if you were afraid of Gehenim, you wouldn't do an Aver, would you? But who's afraid? Everyone according to their level. Mabaya, what's the problem? The problem's like this. Kemoshon, like we say. Ilu hataiva hoyaksuva besvarim v'gehenim hoylefaneinu hakolay v'seder. If lust was a concept written in a book, but something I didn't feel, but Gehenim was right in the world I'm looking at, then everything would be fine. If I could feel what Gehenim was like, and there's a concept of love, lust, but I don't have the lust, it'd be easy to be a Jew. But it's reversed. Gehenim is talked about in the mystical books. You have to look in a mystical book to read about Gehenim, and they describe Gehenim. But that's in a book. Ubud Kamakaris or other sources. But the lust is in front of our eyes. We feel it. Therefore, the fear of Gehenim is like almost non-existent. Again, it's a concept. It's not a reality. The seichel intellectually, kolechad yodei sheish Gehenim, avol mi margish. Everyone intellectually knows there's a Gehenim. Everyone knows you're going to get it badly. But who feels it? Both in TV, ha'adam, ha'normali, kimat, v'lo margish. Naturally, a normal person isn't going to feel Gehenim. Because it's not in this world. Ah, but eichu bona yira. So how do you build up this yira? How do you build up this fear? The answer is, hutzara shemashesh v'seichel shia b'leiv. You need to have that which is in the intellect has to also be in the heart. You have to feel what you know. And that is really what yirah means. Yir, as we've said many times, comes from the word to see. To see. Gemara says, "Ein adome shmiya l'ri'iya." You can't compare hearing to seeing. What does it mean? Well, we heard there's a lot of people suffering in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I heard, okay, here's a check for $18. And now you go to Eretz Yisrael and you see with your own eyes how they're suffering. All of a sudden, it's much more different information. When you really see it in front of your eyes, now it's real. Right? But when you hear about it, okay, it's information. Okay, they're suffering, all right. It's intellectually, I gotta do something. Alright, here's a check for $18. But when you go to these places and you see mamish, the poverty and then the difficult living conditions because what's going on, so then it breaks your heart. And your heart now is in line with what your mind knows. And therefore you give more money. Right? So that which is in the intellect has to get into the heart. So he gives an example. This bidim bedugma bediyu kafufa. Let's give an exact opposite example. Person is hungry. He's out on a teal somewhere, and you're really hungry, and you go into a store, and you find an amazing chocolate bar. Go, wow, I really need a chocolate bar now. You take a look at the heksher, and the heksher, it's not the standard heksher you're aware of. You know, is this type of heksher okay? And you never heard of this one. You know. He immediately begins to find leniencies in order to eat it. Number one, Eid Echad Nemen Bisurim. We know the Talmud says one witness is believed in testifying regarding prohibitions. Chazak Eshel Balabayas Humakbid Al Kashas. Let's say you go to somebody's house. And says, I assume every Jewish home is kosher until proven guilty. All types of calculations of why you'd be allowed to eat it, right? When we were young children, and you know there was a Mars bar without a hechsher, and you looked in the ingredients, it doesn't say pig. There's no pig in this one. No pig. There's all kinds of other ingredients that I can't understand them. It doesn't sound like a pig to me. So you could eat it.
I hear it's kosher.
Right? Right? So, Besoko inside, right? Right? Who yodea? Shekola cheshbon salol hen begeder shechet. You know honestly that all these calculations is a form of bribery. Umargish Besoko ratzon azachah, but he feels a strong urge to eat it. Yeshlo rega, she has a feeling. Vasecholo matzlich lishalov. And the intellect has not successfully conquered the emotion. And you eat the chocolate bar. Or, you know, again, or we can go on to our favorite topic of diets. Right? Where you know that, triple thick fudge wafer bar with gooey sauce dripping all over it. You know, or, you know, when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you go to Machane Yehuda, you go to Marzipan. And you see that chocolate dripping out of those rugelach. You know, and even they, when the people sell it, they call it death by chocolate. Right. You see how that means? Death by chocolate. You eat this, you're going to die. You will die sooner if you eat this all the time. And you know, a 2-pound box of Rugelach on Erev Shabbos is not the way to get ready for Shabbos. Right? Right? So your mind says, get out of there. And your heart says, I must have it. Life is not worth living if I can't have sweet food. Right? So there's a big conflict over there. Big conflict over there. Right? So now, where am I now? Yeshnam, Imken, comes out there. It's Mekoyim Yishalenu L'chadesh O L'chadei Hargosha. There's some situations where we have to renew or sharpen our feelings. Anokh Yodim V'seichel Sheish Gehenim. In our mind we know there's Gehenim. But Aleinu Livnos Hargosha Kizos Belay. But we have to develop such a feeling in our heart. I have to feel that there's a Gehenim. Yesh Makomos, right? That's why, you know, certain tzaddikim, remember I told you the story of certain tzaddikim who would put their finger over a fire till it would burn. So they would feel Gehenim. So they would feel it. They would mamish feel it. You feel the pain at your fingertip. And it would be mamish excruciating. I said, mamish, imagine it's going to feel over my whole body 10 times more than that is Gehenna. I'm not suggesting we do that. But you know, you have to find a way to really develop the feeling, to feel that Gehenna is right next to you. It's right there. You say Lashon Hara, you're going to get singed. But you got to mamish feel that, right? Everybody, there's not one person in this room, will take their hand and put it over the stove when it's hot. Nobody will do it. Why don't you do it? I think it'll be fun. It'll be a nice thing. Be cool. You know, no, you crazy? You know, because I've seen too many examples of that happening. Right? So there's no way I'm going to do it. Why not? You don't feel anything. You're 2 feet away. You don't feel any, I know it's going to happen. You know, your eyes see it. You don't do it. So the same thing with Kenem. Anachnu yodim b'sechol, right? Sheyesh did that. V'yesh mekoymish aleinu lahashid es amoch al argasha. And there's other times reverse. You have to have your intellect overcome your feelings. Hashlili said a negative shebalev welcome Hashem. I can put them out. Your brain has to say, get rid of those marzipans. You know, you look at it and say, this makes no sense to eat this. You have to be a raving lunatic to eat it. You're already 180 pounds overweight. You don't have to add another 20 this afternoon. Right? You have to use your mind. So you have to have each time one being stronger than the other. V'yavo with love. Yichalias l'adam avas ruchanis apnei hashetach. Let's talk about love now. Loving Hashem. So superficially, a person could have a spiritual love. Let's look at a simple, basic example. Avas HaTorah, loving Torah. Do you love Torah? There are many people who naturally love to learn Torah. They love to learn Torah. With no connection to the fact that that's a commandment of God. When they come to learn Torah, they feel the sweetness. They love learning Torah. That's what you can feel. HaTorah medes mul einayim ve'efshel ha'gishos. So the Torah's in front of you, you're studying it, you feel it. It's good. It was a good feeling to learn that Gemara last night. Right, Rafal? Le'umasos. On the other hand, Hayira, kula banui al yesod shel dover shein enim tzumul einayim. The whole foundation of fear is based on something that is not in front of your eyes. That's what year is, to see something deeper than the way it looks superficially. Person needs to renew within himself that he's able to see something as it were, even though it doesn't physically stand in front of him. That's the real Yira. So Lachain, that's what the Pasuk says. Hain Yiras Hashem hi chachma. Yes, so it is. Fear of Hashem, that is Chachma. And also, V'zeh Ashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yevovo. And that's the gate that Tzadikim go through. Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem, He Ashar Darko Marki Va'odam Es HaSeichel V'Goshes B'Vasachas. Fear of Hashem, that is the gate of the pathway that merges the intellect and the feelings as one. Going on to Memhei. Im Odam Higiel Yira. If a person comes to fear, he has to, at least to some extent, unify simultaneously to unify his intellect and his heart. That is the real wisdom. In other words, how he got on, he talked about loving Torah again. Getting back, he kind of didn't finish that idea. Loving Torah. You know, there's loving Torah. I happen to love learning. That's externally. But to love it deeper. To love the Gemara, because not just it's a Gemara, because it's that there's a creator who created it for you to connect to him. And you're loving Hashem through that. That's the real Avas Torah. So, but this Yira, you need this Yira to merge that which is not so obviously in front of you. right? You need to have a yira. This avera, although how as pleasant as it feels now, how bad it's going to be for you. I have to be able to see that which is not seeable. And when I see what's not seeable, I won't do what's bad for me. And then I will feel like I shouldn't do it. But you have to allow that to bring out deeper. And it goes both ways. Sometimes you have to bring out that which is in the mind. Sometimes you have to bring out that which you should be feeling. Right? Sometimes, you know, Gehenim, I don't feel it. I know it, but I don't feel it. You've got to do something to make it real, so that you will feel that there is a Gehenim. And other times, when the feeling is real and the intellect isn't real, you got to make the intellect stronger by seeing that which you should intellectually know, but you got to feel that which you know. What do you mean feel it? If you see it, you feel it. If you don't, you don't feel it. So what does Yiras Hashem really mean? Yiras Hashem really means to say, and that's what we've been talking about all along, is that you gotta see that Hashem is on the chair right next to you. You have to live in a way that you feel He is right next to you. He's looking right over your shoulder every time. It's like, you know, those when they give you these replays, or let's, you know, these guys, these racing car guys, and they put a camera in the racing car. You will now see what Andrea, whatever, you know, so-and-so, always Italian drivers, right? Who's driving, how he sees it going 240 miles an hour. So, you know what? Hashem's camera is right there. Right? You have to feel it's there. If you feel it's there, you will not do what you do that's wrong. And when you do things that are good, you're really going to do it with a whole different zest. That's Yiras Hashem. That's combining the realms of Chachma and the realms of feeling. Which on the deepest level now, if you understand, when it says, the Gemara says, when it talks about the questions they ask you on the final exam, he says, if Yiras Hashem is your treasure house, then everything is good. And if not, it's all a waste of time. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So as you know, all those questions parallel the three higher levels of Keser, Chachma, Bina. That's all in the mind. That's all Seichel. Chesed through Malchus, it's all feelings. It's all feelings. Right? So if a person has Yiras Hashem, what does that mean to say now? Yes, the top levels say, really, my will is to be a Talmud Chacham. And I've learned and I understand that you've got to be a Talmud Chacham. Wonderful. Now you've got to feel it. You've got to love being a Talmud Chacham. You have to control yourself to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to have compassion on yourself to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to be consistent and humble and bond and act royally as a Talmud Chacham. Then you'll be a Talmud Chacham. Those are the feelings. I don't feel it. Yiras Hashem makes what you know to make it how you feel. And that's the biggest disconnect that exists in life. The three higher spheres of the mind and the seven lower spheres of the emotion. Yiras Hashem, that has to be the Otsaro. That has to be the warehouse, the storage house. If you don't have the Yiras Hashem, then you forever suffer from that disconnect. Either you emotionally want to get into things, but you're not hearing what the mind is saying, or the mind is telling you things, but you're not emotionally connected to that. If you have a disconnect between the mind and the heart, it isn't going to work. And that's what really Yiras Hashem is all about. Okay, he's going to continue with this idea and bring it back into the words of the Mesil Shasharim. Very, very important stuff. Very important stuff.